Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
Oh, there's our music. 905. Are you playing another liner? Is it another liner? I'm going to walk over here. Don't play it. Just play the music. There, we're fine. Jimmy, you and I are going to have a meeting at 10, eh? It's not going to be pretty.
No, especially that you're cranky this week.
That's right. I told Walter I'm cranky. I'm doing the 9 straight morning shows. I'm cranky.
Yeah, we're definitely behaving with you today.
Oh, can I tell our tales out of school, what we were just talking about? Walter just got back from holiday, and at his resort, where he was enjoying some rest and relaxation, was Habs goaltending legend Carey Price.
That is correct.
And he was very nice to your son and posed for pictures with him.
Yes, we got a few pictures. He was actually with me on the plane as well. So
excellent.
You know, we got to bond a little bit.
Okay.
Played a little bit of hockey there as well. But
he wasn't kicking the back of your chair, was he?
No.
Don't want to have an incident.
No, he was behaving.
Very nice. Well, it's good to have you back. You look rested and ready to get to work.
Absolutely.
You want to talk to Walter, pick his brain. He's here for the full hour. Sometimes you need someone to talk to. We got the guy, 514-790-0800. We have a question from the gentleman's name is Ken Connors. Walter, I think this year, I keep putting it off. You know, we procrastinate sometimes with home renovation projects, little improvements you want to make. Our house is, let's see, we bought it in 94. So, you know, after a while, the 25-year mark thing, you start things, you know, we got the roof redone, actually. But I still have the original floor in my garage, which is a bit of a mess. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at doing that this year. First of all, A, is it too late for me to book that? And B, what do you recommend I put down as a flooring?
It's not too late, because that could be done 12 months a year.
Okay.
The only issue is you want to make sure it's well ventilated, the door well protected, well sealed, so you don't have any of the sanding dust going into your home.
But would you do it in the wintertime, really?
You know, I've done a few of these jobs in the wintertime, okay, simply because you can. You just have to have adequate negative pressure machines. Well ventilation, you can open the garage door while you're doing it. Choose a nice mild day. Like today, for example, would have been a perfect day.
Yeah.
And then you could do the epoxy resin, which is my favorite.
Epoxy.
Epoxy resin. It's a granulated epoxy. It's extremely durable. And it comes in many, many, many different colors.
Mm.
So I'm planning to do that as well in my garage. And believe it or not, I want to go with a white color.
White?
I know, that's crazy.
All the dirt's going to show, as my mother would say.
Exactly. But if you've seen it finished, especially an all-white garage, I mean, technically, you know, garage is our playground, right? So it's maybe the only room in the house that the wife would not go there and, you know, bother you, I guess. So you could do it like a clinic. You have to keep it up maintained, for sure, a color like that. But then there's other colors like gray and dark gray and beige. And you can go in the browns if you want to go in darker colors. So there's a big, big, big variety.
So long-lasting and durable with epoxy resin.
Correct. Now, the other thing you could go with if you have a lower budget is you could go with those rubber tiles that you glue onto your cement. They're not as sexy, for sure, but they do the job. They do the job. It's better than only cement. I mean, at least if you have only cement, then at least paint it with epoxy. Do that, you know, application with epoxy. Just, you don't have that granulated dust that goes into the house, and it looks much cleaner as well.
What am I looking at? Is this a two-day job?
It's a maximum two-day job.
Maximum two.
Yeah. If you go with a very specialized contractor, that they have the adequate equipment for it, because some people do it, but they have smaller machines, and they don't have the right discs for the job. So it takes a lot longer and does not do such a nice job either.
Okay. You know what I'm dreading, if we go ahead with this project, is cleaning out the garage and emptying it.
Yeah.
Because it becomes a storage room.
You're absolutely right. But then you realize when you're doing that there's a lot of the stuff in that garage that you didn't actually need.
You're right. It's always like, oh, should we hang on to this? We might need it one day. And it goes in the garage, right?
Yeah.
All right.
If you don't use it for 90 days...
Is that the rule? The 90-day rule.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. I like that. If you want to talk to Walter, call now, 514-790-0800. You have a question, there's a project at home, you need some advice, some guidance on, call now. Again, 514-790-0800. Like Ron did out in Pierrefonds. Hi, Ron.
Good morning, Ken. Good morning, Walter.
Mm-hmm. What's going on with that roof?
Well, You know, I went from 2001 to 2013. I had a what do you call it, the tile roof, and I never had any trouble whatsoever, but it was wearing, so I had it redone, and I've had problems ever since. I guess it's, you know, it's not the tiles. I guess it's the way it was done. I'm thinking because this year, because of, I guess we had quite a bit of snow too this year, I've had leakage in two areas, and so I'm thinking of redoing the roof this coming summer, and I just want to ask your opinion. My house is a side split; it's very low pitched at one end, and I was thinking of going. I'm not sure exactly what you call it, but is it elastomeric bitumen?
Yes.
Is that that's what they call it?
Yes.
Would I be better off going with that with my type of a roof?
100%. Now, if you have a low pitch, okay, you have two issues, okay, that you have to look for. With low pitch, when you say tile, you mean shingles, I think. Am I
correct? Yes, that's correct,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, so with low pitch roofs, the shingles themselves, they only work for the water that is going from the top and sliding down to the gutter.
Uh-huh.
But anything that happens due to hydrostatic pressure, lifting, like example where the gutters are, lifting mm-hmm. the shingle and driving upwards.
Sure.
There, if unless you have eye shield membrane throughout your whole roof or for a very long trajectory, then you're not really, it's not really helping you, especially in this type of winter that we've been having, and we're having a lot of these winters lately. So, solutions are like that. Either you start by removing the gutters around the problematic areas. That should help in decreasing the ice buildup, but it will create your other problems, unfortunately, which is a lot of water accumulation around your foundation. So, if you are going to do that as a quick band-aid, then you have to make sure that your landscaping is extremely well graded.
Yeah, no, I've made up my decision that I'm going to, the tax man was very good to me this year, so, to me and my wife, so I decided I'm going to do that and
that's the first time I ever hear that, a tax man being good to you.
Well, yeah,
where do you do your taxes?
No, but they were because of that $4,000 senior rebate.
Okay.
So that really helped. But, okay, other question I have
now,
for you.
Now, Walter. Let me just, there's something very important, Ron, about the elastomeric roof.
Uh-huh.
And that's maybe something that not really we touch on a lot, but we should, especially when you're shopping around. Now, you want to make sure that the guy that does this is specialized in elastomeric membrane roofing, because it does require a big level of skill. This is an open torch welding, okay? Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, which is the most important, you will find that there's not a lot of roofers out there that do that type of work. And the reason being, insurance. When you do an elastomeric membrane type roofing, the insurance becomes extremely high. So a lot of roofers shy away from it. So if you do find a contractor that does this type of work, ask them for a copy of their insurance to make sure that they are insured for these types of jobs.
Okay.
If not, and they burn your house down, you're not covered.
I see. Okay, I understand that because they use the torch. Oh, yeah, okay, I've taken note of that.
And I've seen few fires with that torch. That's why I'm saying that.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Walter, I know you don't recommend on air or anything like that, but would it be possible to talk to you? Because I know what you're saying about there's not too many roofers that are doing it, and some of them haven't been doing it for a long time. Is it possible to talk to you maybe offline so you can give me some guidance?
100%.
I really appreciate that. I'll leave my number.
Jimmy's taking it down already, Ron. Jimmy, who is our producer, he's got your number down because it shows up on our board here. So he's
I see. Okay.
He's gonna provide Walter with that number as well.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate that, gentlemen. I really enjoy your show. I listen to it every week.
Oh, that's terrific, Ron. Thanks for that and good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye now. Exactly 9:15. Call now at 514-790-0800 to talk to Walter Ansi from Renovco. But
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Morning. Good morning. 9:21. It's Ken and Walter from Renovco. Ken Connors, Jimmy G in Master Control. You know, we had a slight glitch. If you called in the last 5 minutes, there was a slight glitch in our phone system. We fixed it. So you can call now if you want to get in touch with Walter at 514-790-0800. From the text line, Walter, if you don't mind, says, good morning, guys. We have standing water that appears in one corner of our yard when it rains for a long period of time or heavily. We're wondering how long it'll be around in the spring. What's the best way to alleviate this slow draining water? He says it isn't threatening the house because it's in a corner of the yard. However, we're looking to install a garden shed in that area. That's from Daryl.
So potentially what happens is you have a lot of the, you might have a type of a crater in the land. And, you know, a lot of the water that is driven is kind of creating a pond effect, and that takes a while for it to drain. Simply by resloping or regrading that area, that will help. The other issue could be you might have in that particular area an underground stream or a big heavy water underneath. Less likely depending on the area that you live in. But I would try just by resloping that area and kind of, if there's a crater, filling it up and resloping it. That should solve the problem. If that doesn't solve the problem, you could always dig it down and add some gravel. And that will slow down the, especially if you're building a shed, you need to prepare properly the land. So by digging, compacting, adding gravel, that should help a lot in the filtration process of the water.
Very good.
Slow down, yeah.
All right. Back to the phone here at 514-790-0800. Martha's in NDG. Hi, Martha.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Walter, I had my roof done. And the same type of membrane you were discussing, I believe, with a gentleman named Ron a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
I wanted to refer the company because that's all they do, and they provide proof of insurance, and I was happy with the work.
All right.
Okay, go ahead. Sure.
May I give that name over the air?
Yes, you may.
Yep.
Okay, so it's Les Toitures Martin Lafleur.
Les Toitures Martin Lafleur. And so you give them the thumbs up, did a good job for you? Very nice.
How long ago did you do your roof?
Was last year.
And what made you think they did a good job?
Well, they show up when they say they're going to show up.
Okay, that's a good
start.
They
were very efficient. They actually, by mistake, changed some shingles as well where I didn't need them. And, oh, no problem, just keep them. There you go, you got new shingles. And we did it, I did it with my neighbor because we're in semi-detached.
Mm-hmm.
It was very easy to contact them and speak to them. There was no chasing around. They did provide proof of insurance without my asking.
Okay.
What else? Very polite.
How many years have they been in business?
Let me see if it's written on here, established in,
See, when it comes to roofers,
the whole file down.
Yeah, the reason that I say that, Martha, because when it comes to roofing companies, years in existence makes a good gives you a good indication of how good their warranties are. Not saying that the people have not been a lot of years in the business, are less good or anything like that. But what I'm saying is, typically they're giving you a 10-year guarantee, you want to make sure they've been at least in the business for 10 years, right? Because now you know how they reservice their warranties. So that's one thing we look at as well, beside insurance, beside this, beside that. And in the roofing scenario as well, we look at different, like, the first year is great. If we don't have any problem, that means things were, at least the basic things were done well. But we also look at different weather patterns, meaning, you know, this winter we had for example, a mild winter. Next winter we had a lot of snow. The winter after we had a lot of ice, and we kind of make an average over the next few years to ensure that really it's holding well to different types of weather patterns as well. But I mean, the fact that your initial experience was great, that's always a plus. Did they replace your flashing on the roof? That metal around the perimeter, the parapet?
Sorry, was that
the flashing?
Did they replace the flashing?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yes, okay. They had to replace the flashing because they brought the membrane right up and over that parapet.
Yeah, but what, believe it or not, what some roofers do, and that's a definite no-no for us, is they just remove it and reinstall it, the same flashing. That we should not agree to. So that's also an indication that they are conscientious and they do a good job. The flashing should always, always, always be replaced. Matter of fact, we're dealing with a case right now of a syndicate that did the roof a couple of years ago, many apartments,
yeah.
And they just had a big roof leak this year. When we open up the walls, that leak has been happening from day one because we found mold, we found rot, we found a whole bunch of things. And it was not really coming from the roof. It was coming from the flashing because the roofer did not replace the flashing.
Okay. Well, in our case, they definitely changed the flashing.
Yeah. And now...
I was at home when they did it.
Mm. Yeah.
I was... I thank you very much for the added information. I wish I could tell you how many years they've been in business. I just was glancing at an email while you were filling me in on the details. And it doesn't say because we did a lot of the initial by email. My neighbors who did this with me are also project managers in construction, so I know that they were here, and he was up on the roof every hour or so double-checking what was going on and if things were working well. He's not an expert roofer, obviously, but he's got some experience.
Well, that's great. When you have someone that have the courage to go up on the roof, because I guarantee you 99% of people don't do that.
Oh, I went up.
You went up.
Good for you.
Times during the day, and
good
I'm not
you.
A young person.
Good for you,
Martha.
I've seen some of my clients. They bring up drones and they kind of go around with them, and that's also smart and way safer. but you know, someone that's gonna go up on the roof and you know, go up the ladder. That's I tip my hat for you.
Oh, it was coming down is the hard part, Walter. Not going up. when you don't like heights, it's getting back on the ladder.
You're absolutely
but,
right.
No, you know, I would send up a drone if my house was 20 stories high, but it's only two. So, and I've been doing it for years. So I just
Martha,
follow the little discomfort and do it.
We're going up against news, but thank you so much for the information and a nice plug for a job well done right there.
Yeah, and it's, you know, if you can recommend that to Ron, it could be one of his three people to look into.
Et voilà. Thank you, Martha.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye now. 514-790-0800. If you want to talk to Walter on the second half of the show here, give us a call right now at 514-790-0800. Text line, by the way, is open as well at 514-800. It's the Home Improvement Show here on CJAD 800.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
You are. Walter Azzi from Renovco is doing all the heavy lifting as usual here in this hour, 9 to 10 o'clock on Saturday mornings. Let's get right back to the phone here. Say hi to Rick in Lachine. Rick, good morning.
Good morning.
Water infiltration. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so it happened back a few weeks when we had the coldest period. It was like minus 20 out, and it happened. I had water. We found water coming in through a windowsill on the main floor, just pouring down onto the kitchen counter. It was on the north side of the building, and it was really, really cold. We were wondering, I couldn't figure out why. Then we realized it was also coming in into the basement. And so the water was traveling down the inside of the wall. We have a bungalow, 1967 cottage, I mean, and it's false mansard here in Lachine, which many homes are. And it's the north side, so it's not getting direct sunlight, and it's super cold out. And so I'm wondering, where is this water coming from? And if it's coming from the attic, if we've got snow buildup in the attic somehow, if there's heat loss, the attic is very, very, very small. Like, I can barely crawl into there. It's a tiny little attic. And it's got a lot of HVAC, air conditioning tubing in there and all that. So how would I re-insulate that? Or do I get a thermography done? Or how do I figure out where this condensation is being created? Any suggestions?
Well, you've kind of answered the question yourself, Rick. And I'll tell you how. Number one, before I just go a bit in detail, I just wanted to know, you said that you have ducting in your attic, am I correct?
Yeah.
Is that heating and cooling duct or just cooling ducting?
It can be both, but I don't use it for the heating.
Okay, good. And I suggest that you don't either, because that will create a bigger problem. Now, the fact that you said that you had a very small attic might be the issue, because the secret here is it's minus 20.
Mm.
So it's almost impossible it's coming from the roof, which in this case is, I would say, the vast majority of the time, if not the whole time, it's coming from condensation in your attic. So I don't know if you can poke your head. I know it's a tight space, but can you poke your head through the attic?
Yeah, I can. I took pictures too.
Okay. Did you see any ice buildup?
Not afterwards. I didn't do it immediately because I couldn't figure out. It didn't come to me right then and there.
Okay.
I thought it was ice damming from the I couldn't figure it out. I didn't realize
it cannot
that
be ice damming from the shingles. It cannot be in minus 20. That's almost impossible.
Yeah.
Okay. It is probably coming from the attic itself. Now, if you want to really have a quick answers to that, when you poke your head in the attic, if you feel that your attic is warmer than it's supposed to be, then that's a telltale sign that you have an issue in your attic. So when you stick your head above the insulation, that's the key, not where the insulation is. You have to stick it up above the insulation.
Yeah, I went right up in there as far as I could. I can get very far.
Yeah, but I mean, if you feel that it's, because technically the attic should have very comparable temperature to the outside. If it doesn't, then there's something wrong in that attic, meaning it's not getting enough ventilation, it's not getting air, and so on and so forth. And that will cause you problems, okay? Condensation is really the main issue that we worry about.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, the only issue now that you're probably asking is how do we solve a problem of an attic that is not accessible?
Right.
Okay, that's probably what your question is, right?
Exactly.
And that is a very challenging answer, because the only way you could do it, unfortunately, especially when it's not humanly accessible, is by taking out the roof, the plywood, and then solving it from above or solving it from below. Mm-hmm. Now, in certain cases, you might just target the problematic areas.
Mm-hmm.
So in order not to make a big job out of it. So, for example, if you're saying you have two bedrooms that are particularly problematic, then you might take the ceilings of these two bedrooms out, solve the problem in these areas, and then, you know, hopefully that, you know, because of how the sun rises and how the sun hits the house, that will solve the problem in the back of the house, the front of the house is fine, and you don't have to go through a whole ordeal of doing a big job. But there's not really a magic bullet that you could do unless you really find a very, very, very tiny person that can go in there and do the work.
You know, when I originally bought the home, there were 4 maxi vents on the roof.
Mm.
A roofer came by to do something. He goes, you have too many ventilation. So we sealed one with insulation. And then when I had the roof redone a few years ago with elastomer membrane, they actually removed another one. They said, you still have too many. So there's only 2 exhaust on the roof now.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the max vents depends how big your roof is, but usually they're good, I think, to up to 1,500 square feet each. So if you have 2, it's more than enough in most roofs. Having said that, these are useless if you don't have a proper intake.
Right.
Meaning if your soffits are blocked. Okay.
Then it's a false mansard, so it's a closed roof.
Okay, then you don't need any, then those ventilation, they have no intake, so they actually are not working at all.
They're just venting each other, I guess. I don't know.
I don't even see, because you need positive air for it to they suck that out through the soffits usually, or through side ventilations, and you don't have neither of that. So,
no.
To be honest, I'm not even sure what you need them for.
Rick, there you go.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call. Going to quickly move to Janet. Janet out in Phillipsburg, right, Janet?
Yes, right.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. You want to talk to Walter about your thermal pump?
Yes, please.
Okay, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Hi, Walter.
Hi.
I've got a thermal pump, Haxair 36,000 BTUs. For the last 2 years, is a problem that can't seem to be solved. Every so often I feel this ice cold air around my feet and my ankles. And I've spoken to the owner who's been coming to try to figure out the problem. And he says, well, no, it can't be. It's not possible. He said, unless it's it happens when it's in mode dégivrage.
Yeah, defrost mode, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And could it be possible that the pipes are inverted?
No.
I asked him that, and he said, no.
No. Now, here's a misconception about heat pumps that most people don't know. When heat pumps blow air in the house, mm-hmm. it's different than when you have a furnace blowing air.
Mm-hmm.
The heat pump blows air because, I mean, most people put their settings, ideal settings, 68 degrees, 70 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And heat pumps typically, the air that they blow is about 90 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your body temperature is 98 degrees. So when
right.
you to the touch, it actually feels that it's colder, that's cold air that is blowing. But 90 degrees for what you're asking for it as temperature
mm-hmm.
is actually hot enough to warm up the house. So if it's not in defrost mode, which is common that you would feel this cold air, it is actually blowing warm air, but not warm enough to the touch of the body temperature, because it's about 8 degrees below that. Now, the best way to tell if you really have a problem in your heat pump, believe it or not, is to look at your thermostat. If your house thermostat, if you're asking your heat pump to blow, like to give you 70 degrees, mm-hmm. and the room temperature is 70 degrees, then the heat pump is doing its job. Then you leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only way you can tell if it's really giving you a problem or not.
Okay.
So is your thermostat, so when you ask for 70 degrees, is it showing 70 degrees?
Yes, it is, yes.
Then you don't have a problem. You don't have a problem. What you do have is a false feeling of cold air blowing, which is very common. You hear that a lot when it's in heat pump mode and you touch it, you say, okay, my God, this feels cold. But the only reason it's cold is because it's 8 degrees less than what it should be, what your body temperature is. So mm-hmm. in your head, it's actually cooler than you.
Okay. Well, but I mean, it feels, it's just like ice, and it's like throughout the house.
Again, if your thermostat is giving you what you're asking for,
mm-hmm.
then
mm-hmm.
We get that a lot. So I'm just giving you the quick answer just because that's really the culprit in this case. Mm. Only if you have a problem with your thermostat. If you're asking your thermostat to be at 75 and the room is at 65, then you have a problem. But if mm-hmm. it's doing its job, then you really don't have a problem.
Okay. Well, all right. Thank you very much for your help. Have a good day.
Thank you, Janet. Thanks for the phone call. Freeze up a line at 514-790-0800. 945, Natalie and Linda. Hang on, we're coming. Hold on, we're coming, like the old song.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Sunny and chilly out there, sunshine, but it's still -3, feels like -10. Welcome back. Let's get right back to the phone, Walter. We've got Natalie in St. Michelle. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning to you. You have a question about your roof, I think.
Yes, but first off, I'd like to thank Walter about that show that you did a couple of weeks back about the roofs. I had somebody come in, break up the ice dam, and take the snow off the roof, and it was heaven. You saved my sanity. So I thank you for that tremendously.
Oh, with a pleasure, Nat.
The question that I have this morning is, I've got low slope shingle roof, which has a cathedral ceiling inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you can put those coils at the edge to heat it up so you don't get an ice dam. But I was also wondering if I could insulate the roof from the outside and put in those maxi vent things.
Insulating the roof from the outside, meaning what?
Well, I'd like them to put, I suppose, 2x4s, fill that in with some kind of insulation, and then redo the shingles on top.
Okay, look at you. Okay, you've done your homework. Okay.
You've impressed him, Natalie.
Oh, wow.
Okay, what you're doing is you are increasing the slope of your roof and creating more cavities so you can insulate more. If I understand you correctly, right?
Well, essentially, I don't think I have any insulation at all on it now, because it is a cathedral ceiling, and they put this elastomer or whatever, and then they put the shingles.
Okay. I mean, again, not having insulation at all is a bit worrisome if you have a shingle roof. Mm-hmm. Never seen it done like that before. But what I would tell you is, if you are going to increase the pitch in your roof and do the 2x4s, you want the insulation to be on the warm side, not on the cold side. Because the ventilation on the roof should go above the insulation. So if you do a 2x4, the way you want to do it is you remove all the plywood, if you wish.
Yes.
Shim the roof up so you have a better slope. Then you insulate the bottom so that to the warmest side of the house, which is right above the drywall in this case and the vapor barrier.
Yeah.
And then you allow the maxi vents to circulate air above that. Anything you do that is in reverse, it not, number one, is useless, and number two, is going to create you bigger problems. Okay? So you have the right idea, but the placement of things should be corrected.
Well, who could do that for me? A roofer or a construction guy?
So here's the trick with that. You're going to need to have three different trades. So the best is you call a general contractor. Why? Because you need framing guys, charpentry guys, mm-hmm. and you need a roofer, and you need an insulation company. So you need the three to work in unison and really work together, because it's really one after the other. You can't kind of skip a beat in this whole thing. So that's why I'm saying you would need more of a general contractor that can bring all these people together and do the coordination, just because you need these three trades. And if you don't have them under your control, it could be actually a nightmare to do. I've seen cases where the framer came, they did the roof, they did the framework, but then the roofer was not available, so there was a 4-day gap with rain in between, and the client got all kind of water in his house because of that.
Yeah.
So that's why it gets to be tricky. But if you would call a general contractor, then it shouldn't be a problem.
All right. Go ahead, sorry.
Sorry. Does Renovco do this? Or?
We do, yes.
You do? Okay. So I would just call your general number?
That is correct.
Okay, wonderful.
Thanks, Natalie.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have a nice day.
You too. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
I'm not trying to rush her. I was just trying to get in Linda here. It's 9:55. Linda out on the West Island. Linda, sand residue in pipes, is that it?
Exactly. Good morning. Good morning. I'm hoping you can help us figure out what is going on with the quality of our water in the house.
Okay.
A few months back, we started to notice this dirty grit sand residue that is in the water supply. Mm-hmm. So if you're running the water and you're going to drink the water, you don't notice it right away.
Yeah.
But if you are looking in your toilet bowl after days, or in our case, say 2 weeks, the bottom of the toilet where all the water accumulates is black. And if you run a bathtub and then you let it drain with just cold water, you see again this sandy grit at the bottom. So it accumulates over time, but it's present in the regular water every day. And for the hot water, we're noticing now there's this test. That's what started us noticing. There was a discoloration in the water, and we thought, oh, maybe it's the hot water tank. But now we're realizing it's in the cold water supply. There's this grit, and we don't know what to do about it. We called our city. They came, looked at it. They really weren't sure what was happening. We've escalated again with the city, and they're supposed to send someone again next week. But, I mean, we don't know where it's coming from. They don't know where it's coming from.
Linda, yes. What year construction is your home?
It's, I believe, 82, okay. 82 or 92, sorry.
Do you know if you have metal pipes or copper pipes?
I think copper pipes. I think they were copper.
Because what you're seeing is probably sediment in your pipes. And I don't think the city is the issue. Because if the city is the issue, typically your neighbor will have the same type of problems. And they do regularly check their water quality. Sediment means, in essence, it means whatever is forming in your pipes, whether it's rust or any other reaction, it's accumulating in the pipes and then creating that discoloration in the water. That can be simply solved by flushing your water lines. And, you know, what if you want to do it yourself, I mean, you have to be quite handy. But in essence, what you could do is you remove the aerator screens from all your water faucets and you give them a thorough cleaning. That's the first thing you want to do. Then you want to turn off the water heater, close the inlet valve. And then, you know, if you have gas or oil, you want to make sure that the pilot light on the hot water tank is out, obviously. Then you're going to connect the garden hose to the drain, which is usually located right next to the water tank. If it's in the garage or it's in the laundry room, you would have a drain. Then you're going to plug the faucet that is the farthest from the problem, right? So that you can use a coin or a rubber plug and what have you. And you want to open your cold water handle on that plugged faucet and let the cold water run for at least 40 minutes. So that will kind of start cleaning up or filtering the sediment out of your pipes. If that doesn't work, then you might want to call a plumber and look a bit more for professional help as far. But that usually should help. That usually should help. This is more common, by the way, in homes that have metal pipes.
Oh.
We see that more.
Yeah. We're pretty confident it's copper. So that's what's...
But I mean, it does happen in certain cases with copper as well.
Okay. Linda, so you don't think it's coming from the outside?
Like very unlikely. Very unlikely. Try that. If that works, then it's not coming from the outside.
Okay. Linda, all right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We squeeze it in. Glad we could help. Thank you very much. 9:59. Nice job.
Oh, my God. You got the money's worth out of me today.
You're like
I take vacation 1 week and then you hit me with all these calls.
Another great hour coming up next Saturday morning with Walter Assey from Inovco. I'm going to step aside and let Jimmy G bring Lisa in here for the car show coming up next on CJND 800.